Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Lamed Vov. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara with which we will be beginning today's shiur is found at the bottom line of Lamed Hei Omid Beis. V'hashemen shelohen. Oil produced by the idol worshippers is something that is forbidden to eat, forbidden to consume. Shemen, we are going to now see a discussion that in our topic heading on the outside margin, the Nosei, and we've indicated this goes to Lamed Vav Amud Beis, Shemen Shel Akum, the oil of the idol worshippers. One point is Aleph, Mi Gozar Olav, who is responsible for its prohibition, and Beis, the second point, Mi Hetiro, who eventually allowed it and indicated that it's not one of the items that's prohibited. The Gemara continues at the bottom of Lamed Hei. V'hashemen shelahen, shemen, Rav Omar, Doniel Gozar Olav. Rav is of the opinion that Doniel ruled the shemen of the goyim is to be prohibited. Ushmuel Omar. Now we encounter a brackets immediately at the top of Lamed Vav Omed Aleph, so we will skip initially to the second line. Zalifosin shokelim asurin osarton. It's that which is exuded from the walls of vessels in which the oil is prepared, it's cooked up, it's the exusion from the Gentile-owned unkosher vessels. In other words, their cooking vessels absorbed in the course of their use of it all kinds of forbidden foods, forbidden meats, for example. So the taste that was absorbed in the walls of these vessels in the processing of the oil is exuded into the oil, and that's what makes the oil prohibited. Being that we skipped the two lines at the beginning, let's now go over the Gemara, realizing that that which is inside of the bracketed section is a lashon, is a version that needs correction. So we read that Shmuel said, now the top line, Zlifoson shel kelim temeim osarton. It's the exusion of vessels that are impure, that asers, that forbids the oil. So to this, the Gemara asks, Otu Kule Alma Oichle Taros Ninu. Is it so that everyone else is diligent in eating only that which is pure, that is tohor? In other words, the presentation of the prohibition based on Kalim Temeim, the concept of Tuma is something that stands in contrast with Tara, ritual purity and ritual impurity. Tuma being ritual impurity. It is true that there is a practice amongst some very pious individuals that eat, that consume only foods that are ritually pure. However, there is no Torah prohibition against eating standard food items that are ritually impure. So to suggest that it's the exusion of ritual impurity into the food that causes its prohibition, that is not a reasonable explanation. And to that, the Gemara reacts, is it so that everyone is so diligent in eating their food only in a state of ritual purity? That's not true. Ella, zlifosin shokelim asurim osartam. There's another realm of governing food consumption, and not ritual purity or impurity, but rather that which is permissible versus that which is forbidden. So things like ham and horse meat, and basar b'cholov, those are meat and milk, those are realms that are considered usur, and it's that which we are concerned with when it comes to the vessels that are used to produce the oil that the Gentiles produce. So that having been said, we see that Shmuel's opinion is it's the exusion of the Gentiles' vessels that causes the prohibition. Before we go further in the Gemara, we now encounter a geometric form, in this case a triangle, and this is explained on the outside margin under the Nosei, the topic, and Mivneh structure heading. We see triangles in two different positions. The explanation here is Ma'akav Achar Hadiyun B'shitas Rav D'Doniel Gozer Al HaShemen. An attempt here to keep track. A Ma'akav is the attempt to keep track of a discussion concerning Rav's opinion that Doniel is the one that that forbade their oil. Amarle, and before we actually read the Gemara, let's just take note of the fact that we now encounter a long question marking. This appears to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. You see a circled kuf with a vertical dash line. All of the lines of the Gemara that stand opposite to this vertical dash line form the question. After the question, you'll notice an inverted triangle, which is Rav's response to this question. Amarle Shmuel LaRav. Bishlamo Lididi, it works out well according to me. You notice we've squiggle underlined Lididi. In contrast, Lididi means according to me. So in contrast, about a few lines later, you'll see a squiggle underlined Lididcha. But according to you, there will be a problem. So Shmuel claims that Bishlamo Lididi, it works out well according to me. De amino, that I say, is Lifosin Shokelim Asurim Osartan, that it's that which exudes from their vessels that forbids the oil. Hainu dichiosi Rav Yitzchok bar Shmuel bar Marta the Omar. It's now with that I can understand that which Rav Yitzchok reported, and he said Dorish Rebbe Simloi ben Etzivan, that Rebbe Simloi announced and taught in the town of Netzivan the following: Shemen Rebbe Yehuda ubeizdino nimnu alav vehitiru. The concerning the oil of the Gentiles, Rebbe Yehuda and his court took a vote and allowed the oil. Kosova, reviewers of the opinion, that noi saint tam lifgam mutter, that which gives a negative taste is something that is allowed by the Torah. In other words, the absorbed taste in vessel walls, after a day goes by, that taste, when it is exuded, it has an off taste. It doesn't taste good. It's called no saint tam lifgam. A taste that's lifgam means negative, that ruins. Therefore, it doesn't threaten the oil that's being cooked up in those vessels. And with that, I understand how Rebbe Yehuda and his court could rule that the oil is permissible. In other words, up till that point, the oil was perceived as forbidden because of the exusion of the vessel walls. And when Rebbe Yehuda came along, he clarified the situation and he ruled that there is nothing to worry about. In other words, Rebbe Yehuda in his court was not going against a prior official ruling of a previous generation. But according to you, this is a reference to Rav, the Amris Doniel Gozer Alov, that the great Doniel, who lived during the time between the Bias Rishon, first Beis HaMikdash, and the second Beis HaMikdash, that he is the one that ruled prohibiting the oil. How can the following be? Doniel Gozar, the Osa Rebuta Hanosi Umavatele. Could it possibly be that Doniel issues the ruling and a great rabbi, as great as he may be, but he is many generations later and understood to be of a lesser caliber than Doniel was? How could it be that Doniel would issue the prohibition and Rebbe Yehuda Hanossi would come many generations later and cancel it? V'hotnan, but we have a teaching that says such a thing can't be. And the teaching says, Ein Beisdin Yochel Levatel Divrei Beisdin Chavero, a court cannot nullify the rulings of a previous court, Ela Im Kein Godol Heimenu B'chochmo V'minyan, unless that the second court that's coming to undo is greater in scholarship and in age or in numbers. And that's not the case over here. Amarle, so Rav is now going to respond to Shmuel, and he says, Simloi ludo'o ko'amris. Are you citing to me to support your question that which Simloy from Lud says, "Shiny Ludoi de Mezalzalu." The people from Lud don't take very seriously rabbinic rulings. Omarlei. So Shmuel says back to Rav, "Ashlachlei, should I send your comment to Rabbi Simloi? Then is that what you said about him?" Ichsif. So Rav became embarrassed. Omar Rav. Rav now explains his position. We see Rav's comment here will last a few lines, and we've indicated this with a long marking. Rav is encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of his comment. So Rav says, "Im hein lo darshu." If Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi didn't darshan, didn't expound on the pasuk to understand that Doniel made a gzera, and thought that some other Beis Din made a ruling concerning the exusion of Kalim, then should we remain silent? Once again, let's see this in the Gemara. Im hein lo darshu anan lo darshinan v'hoksiv. The Pasuk says, and we'll see an indication that the Pasuk tells us that Doniel did make the gzera. Vayosem Doniel alibo asher lo yisgoel v'pas bag hamelech uv'yayin mishtov. Doniel placed it upon his heart that we will not become defiled in the bread of the king, nor in the wine and his beverages, liquids. The word mishtov is a plural word. B'shtei mishtos hakosuf medaber. There are two liquids that the pasuk is referring to. Echad mishtei yayin. One is their wine, the Gentile wine. The echad mishtei shemen, and the other one is the oil. And we've dashed underlined the oil. Rav Sovar, Rav, in seeing this pasuk, feels al libo isom. The pasuk mentioned vayosem Doniel al libo. It means that he took it to his heart. Ulechol yisol hura, and he acted upon it by issuing a prohibition to all of Israel. He taught Horez to teach it to all of Israel. Ushmuel Savar, Shmuel, who did not acknowledge that Doniel is the one that issued the prohibition, how does he view this pasuk? He says, Alibo Isam Ulechol Yisrael Lo Yhora. He took it to heart to deny himself these different things, the bread and the wine and the oil of the goyim, of the Gentiles. However, he did not teach it. He didn't rule upon it. The Gemara asks a question. You can see with the triangle, the point facing up, this is a kasha on Rav's approach. The Shemen Doniel Gozar, is it so that Doniel issued the ruling concerning the oil? V'amar Boli, Omar Avimi Noisa, Mishmei Derav. These are names of Boli, saying the name of Avimi Noisa, quoting Rav. Piton, Vishimnon, Yenon, Uvnoisehen, Kulon, Mishmoina Osirdovar Hain. For our purposes, there's a list of items that we just read, the bread, their oils, their wines, and their daughters. All of them are part of the 18 rulings that we find in Maseches Shabbos, in the first parak of Maseches Shabbos, where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel together issued rulings, gezeros. So in this comment, we see we've dashed and underlined v'shemen, and also the expression shmoino serdovar, indicating that the Shmona Esri Dovah should gozru Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So first of all, we see that Rav himself, because this comment was made in the name of Rav, he is saying that Shemen is part of the 18 things that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel ruled on. V'chitema, you might say that also Doniel gozar velo kibel, that Doniel, and you might say that that which Rav said, that Daniel made the Gzeira, what Rav meant by that is that that Daniel made the Gzeira, and it wasn't accepted. It wasn't accepted on a popular level. V'osu Talmidei Tehillel V'Shamai V'Gozur V'Kibel, and they, the subsequent generation, Shammai and Hillel, the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel, the students of Hillel and Shammai, came and issued the restriction. If that is going to be your explanation, then Im Kain, my Asadusei to Rav, what was the purpose of Rav ever saying that Doniel made the Gzera, when Doniel's making of the Gzera was one that was never really accepted? So at this point we have a Kasha. How can it be said that Rav claims that Doniel made the Gzera when it's quoted in the name of Rav himself that the Shemen ruling is something that Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are responsible for? Elo, the triangle's inverted, so we now have an answer or a point of defense. Doniel gozar olov be'ir. Doniel ruled against the oil in cities. In other words, one, if he's in a community with Gentiles, he's not to buy or use the oil of his Gentile neighbor, because of the fear that this will cause closeness and lead to intermarriage. The also inhu, the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, the gozur afilu basode, and they expanded the prohibition to include even if you're not in the immediate vicinity of the Gentiles, right? You're like, as if you were like in a case that you're out in the fields. At this point, the Gemara starts a new discussion under this general topic. On the outside margin, we have a Nose Mivne heading associated with this Gemara. We see a diamond featured. The diamond that we'll be seeing here has a colored in tip to distinguish it from diamonds found on the previous Omid. Kushios al ho di amrinon, this is what we've written on the side, questions on that which we said, that the Rebbe Yehuda hitir es ha-shemen, that Rebbe Yehuda is the one responsible for allowing, for making an allowance of the oil, rescinding the prohibition concerning the oil. The Gemara raises the question, and you'll notice we have a long question marking here. The question will take 5 lines to develop. The Gemara asks, Rav Yehuda Hanosi, Hechi Motsi Lemishra Takanto de Talmidei Shammai Vehillel. In our previous discussion, we concluded, according to Rav, that the Talmidim of Shammai and Hillel are responsible for the general prohibition of Gentile oil. How can Rav Yehuda Hanosi, who lived quite a bit later, many generations after the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel period, how can he come along and rescind it and allow it? The Hotnan, we have a teaching, this is something we just saw above in the previous discussion, Ein Beisin Yocho Levatel Divrei Beisin Chavero, a subsequent court cannot undo the ruling of a previous court, Elo Im Kein Godol Heimenu B'Chochmo V'Minyan, unless that subsequent court is greater in scholarship and in numbers. The Oid, and furthermore, we'll see a further question in how can one possibly understand that Rebbe Yehuda Hanosi could come along and rescind a gzeira that has such strength as that which is that was issued by the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel under their 18 rulings. The Oid, Ho Omar Rabo Bar Barchana Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Bako Yochol Levatel Beis Din Divrei Beis Din Chavero, Chutz Mishmoina Oser Dovar. In all matters, there's a potential for having a ruling or a prohibition rescinded, with the exception of those 18 rulings. We've dashed underline that, because this is really the focus point. That's a reference to the Talmidei Hillel and Shammai. Shafilu Yovo Elio Beis Dino Ein Shomen Lo. Even if the great Elio and his court, which we can assume would be a greater court than those of Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, even though they may be greater, we still would not listen to them. So after all is said and done, what's the question? How could it be that Rebbe Yehuda Hanosi rescinded a ruling of the Beis Shammai Beis Hillel under the heading of Shmoina Osar Dava, their 18 rulings? The Gemara answers. This is a long answer, as you can see with our long answer marking provided on to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. This will take you to the second line from the top of Amud Beis. Omer of Mesharshia. Ma tam, why is it that we're not mevatel the ruling of the 18 rulings of Beisham Beis Hillel? Hoyol uposhat isuram v'roiv Yisrael, since their restrictions, the restrictions contained in those in that list of rulings, has been accepted by the majority of Israel. Shemen, however, loy poshat isuro barov Yisrael, the prohibition concerning the oil never took off. It never spread through the majority of the Jewish people. The Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Abba, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yoshu Rabosenu ubodku al Shemen, shelo poshat isuro barov Yisrael. Rabbi Shmuel says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that the rabbis sat and investigated the issue of the oil and noticed and found and discovered that it did not spread through the majority of Israel. V'samchu rabosenu al divrei Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, v'al divrei Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok, shoyu omrim, and the rabbis relied upon the words of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel and Rabbi Elazar ben Tzadok that used to say, "Ein gozerin gzeira al hatzibor elim kein roiv tzibor yecholim la'amoid ba." Rulings are not made as primarily restrictions are not imposed on the community, on the nation, unless the majority of the nation is able to withstand it, to observe those restrictions. And of course, if we're saying that Shemen was never accepted by the majority of the tzibor, so it's an indication that the Shemen prohibition was something that had a built-in undoing, a built-in voiding possibility. The Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo Maikro, what's the pasuk that serves as the source for the concept that a gzera is not considered a gzera unless the majority accept it? The pasuk says, "B'me'era atem de'orim, la'oisi atem koivim, hagoi kulo." Let's take a look at Rashi to understand this very important source of information, this pasuk. The Rashi at the top says, "B'me'era atem de'orim." Atem mekablim aleichem gezeira be'oru v'klola v'ne'asar aleichem. You, the Jewish people, accept upon yourselves certain rulings. With oru and klola is an expression that indicates that if one violates it, so they'll be subject to a curse. In simpler terms, you, a people, accept upon yourselves rulings, prohibitions. V'achar kach oisi atem koivim. Koivim means goizlim. What does that mean? You steal. Sha'atem nehenim shuv minu arurim. And then you turn around and violate your very own gezeros. And the pasuk concludes, as is printed in the Gemara, with the expression hagoi kulo. On this, the Gemara darshans, iiko goi kulo, in. If there is an entire nation that accepts it, then it's considered a real ruling. Eloi, if you don't have the goy kulo aspect, if you don't have the all of the people behind it, all and probably we can assume also the majority of the people behind it, then lo, then it's not considered a ruling. There's a little comment in the Tosfos at the top. Eiko goy kulo in, ilo lo. Pirush. Eino cholo kishar gezeros. A gezera, a ruling that does not have the majority of the community behind it, then it doesn't take hold like other rulings and prohibitions. And what does that mean? It doesn't take hold. It's v'yecholu lehizbatel af beisin katan, and it can be undone even in a lesser court than that which originally ruled it. Miu chola hi. However, this ruling that didn't take hold in Rove of the Tzibor, but after all, it was issued by a court. And in so far as it having been issued by court, it does take hold to a degree. L'inyan shetzricha shum heter, to the extent that it requires a formal allowance afterwards. Share shemen nohagu bo isur. We see in the case of the oil, there was some type of practiced restriction concerning its consumption, the oil of the Gentiles. Ad shebo Rabbi Yehuda v'hitir, until Rabbi Yehuda came and formally. Rescinded the restriction. Turning back to the Gemara, Gu gufa. Gufa is a word indicating we're now going to focus on something that was mentioned by the way earlier. Let us, before we go on in the Gemara itself, glance at the topic heading we've supplied on the side, the nosei. The topic heading, Piton Shimnon Yenon Uvnoseim, the issue of Gentile bread, oil, wine, and their daughters. Kulon Miyudches Dovarhein, namely Gzerus Shel Tamidei Shammai VeHillel, the prohibitions instituted by the students of Shammai and Hillel. So, turning to the Gemara, we'll see these four issues featured. Gufa, Omar Boli, Omar Avimi Noisa, Mishmei Derav. We mentioned earlier that Boli is the name of a scholar, and he quotes the name of Avimi Noisa, who quotes Rav. Piton Vishimnon Yenon Uvnosam, Kulon Mishmei Noser Dovarhein. The issue concerning the Gentile bread, oil, wine, and daughters is they're all part of the 18 rulings of the students of Shammai and Hillel. We mentioned earlier that these rulings are discussed at length in the first parak of Masechet Shabbos. Benoisein Maihi, what is the issue concerning the Gentile girls, women? Omar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, Gozru al Benoisein Nidois Me'arisusan. The ruling was that the Gentile females are considered nida women, menstruant women, from their cradle. Meaning, even though, according to Torah law, a non-Jewish woman does not convey tumah, she doesn't convey tumas nida. Therefore, there was a ruling, and that's what we're discussing now, a ruling concerning Gentile women that even at as early as infanthood, they are considered nida. They're considered impure with regard to tumas nida. Ugeniva mishmei de Rav. Geniva is a name, and he quotes Rav, says, Omar kulon mishum avodis kechovim gozru bohen. All of these rulings are rulings to create a fence around or distance us from coming to idol worship. Dechiosu Rav Acha bar Ado, Omar Rav Yitzchak, gozru al piton mishum shimnon. This expression will be challenged, but we'll translate it first. They made a ruling to prevent us, to restrict us eating their bread in anticipation of us coming to consume their oil. The Gemara asks, "My ulme de shemen mipas." What is more strict about the oil that we have to protect the ruling against oil by instituting a new restriction concerning the bread? Ulme means strong. What is stronger about oil than bread? The expression that said they made a gzeira concerning their bread in anticipation of coming to the more serious violation of oil, that's hard to understand, Ella. Rather, the more accurate description is as follows. They made a gzeira, Ella, al piton v'al shimnon mishum yenon. We also are encountering a new geometric form. We have a triangle here. This indicates a series, and we'll see in this piece of Gemara a buildup of gzeros. In other words, one thing was certain things were prohibited in anticipation of something else, and that something else itself was ruled prohibited in anticipation of something else. And we'll see a hierarchy of gzeros as the Gemara unfolds. So the first stage is that they ruled against the Gentile bread and oil, mishum yenon, so that you shouldn't come to consume their wine. So you can ask the same question as before, so what's more serious about wine than oil and bread? So this Rashi answers on the fourth line from the top. Rashi says, mishum yenon, shehayayin bo'er bo. Wine has a characteristic that it causes a person to be inflamed. And the wine has the power of bringing one to, become a bit lightheaded and a little over-friendly, if you will, and eventually come to take their daughters, to take Gentile women. So there was a need to keep us away from their wine, and that was done by keeping us away from their bread and oil. Continuing, v'al yenom, an exera was made concerning the prohibition of Gentile wine, mishum benosayim, so that I don't come to taking their women. V'al benosayim, and there's a ruling against taking their women, Mishum dover acher, because if I take their women, if I marry their women, if you will, then I'll come to eventually worship idols. I'll be a victim of idolatry. These details will be explained by the Gemara very shortly. But just to complete this list of gzeros, let's continue. V'al dover acher, mishum dover acher. We should note that we have a semicolon before this expression, because this is not part of the list of hierarchy that we just got finished describing. However, we do have a triangle around the al to give you a sense of it being another gezera. But the semicolon is sort of to detach this from the gezeras that were just mentioned. Okay, so this expression also is quite vague. The Gemara will deal with its explanation later on. We have an asterisk to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text showing you or indicating that if you find the next asterisk further down, it's at that point that this phrase will be explained. But for the meantime, it says they made a gezerah, they ruled, they prohibited something else that's not mentioned over here, mishum dover acher, because of something else. As we said, this is a very vague expression, and the Gemara later on will tell you, it will reveal, if you skim down to where that parallel asterisk is, you'll see in the middle of that line, it says, Gozer al tinok evi kechovim, they made a ruling concerning an infant Gentile, sheyitame b'ziva, that he will be able to communicate ziva impurity, shalihei tinok yisrael rogil eslo b'mishkav zohar, to keep children away from one another, and it was Gentile children, keep Jewish children away from Gentile children, so that they don't come to a situation of mishkav zohar, of homosexuality. That will be featured later on. However, at this point in the Gemara, we see the Gemara is going to focus on the issue of benoseihem. We said that there was a special gzeira concerning not taking their women, because that will lead to something else, will lead to idolatry. But the question here is, why do you have to have a rabbinic prohibition instituted on something that the Torah already prohibits? The Gemara asks, "Benoy sehem de'iraisahi." It's already prohibited by the Torah. Dichtiv lo sischatein bom. The pasuk says that we shall not marry them. In other words, a prohibition of marrying Gentiles. The nosei topic that we have on the side, the topic heading, Ma Shayach Gezeira Be'isa B'noseim Shel Goyim. What is the need to have a rabbinic prohibition banning their women folk from us? Harehi Asura Midoreisa. The Gentile women are prohibited prohibited from Jews from the Torah already. Jews are prohibited from marrying them from the Torah. So the Gemara answers. Deiraisa equals Shiva Umois. The Torah prohibition concerns the seven nations that occupied the land of Canaan, or Eretz Yisrael, before the Jews entered. Avoshar Ovde Kechovim Lo, but other Gentile nations were not Torah prohibited. We now encounter a diamond. Let's, before we read the Gemara, look at this side. We have our Mivneh. Nisyonois Lahazbir Gezeras Tamidi Hillel V'Shamai Bekesher Libonois Shel Goyim. We will see attempts to present what was the gezeira of Talmidei Shammai Hillel in the realm of Bonos. And as you skim down the page, you will notice quite a few of these diamonds. In other words, this issue is not going to be resolved so quickly. What's the issue? What exactly was the need of the Talmidei Shammai Hillel to restrict in the realm of Benoseihem? So we just got finished saying that the Torah prohibition concerns the seven nations that occupied the land of Israel before the Jews came in. But other Gentile nations are not prohibited by the Torah. The Osu Inhu V'Gozer, they came along, the Talmidei Hillel V'Shammai came and ruled Afilu Dishar Oivdei Kehovim, even the women of other Gentile nations. The Gemara asks, Ulu Rav Shimon ben Yochoi di Omar, according to Rav Shimon ben Yochoi, who is known to explain the reasoning behind Psukim, and the Pasuk says that one shall not marry them, ki yosir es bincho me'achorai, because if a Jewish man marries a Gentile woman, they will they will cause your son to turn away from me. God is saying that by intermarrying, they'll be turned away from Judaism. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai says that this pasuk is l'rabbis kol hamesirois. This comes to include all those that are capable of turning a Jew away from his tradition, namely all Gentile nations. So according to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, that the Torah itself already prohibits all Gentile nations, the Jews, namely prohibits the Jews from marrying into all Gentile nations, my equal amemar. What is the need for their gzera, for the gzera of Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel? Elo, reevaluation. Doraisa equals Ishus derechasnus. What the Torah prohibits is intimacy under the institution of marriage. The Asu Inu Gozer Afilu Derech Znus. The Talmidei Hillel Shammai came and ruled that even through non-marriage, extramarital intimacy, namely non-marital intimacy, Znus, simple, we'll call them one-night stands, for the common term that's used is fooling around, even that is prohibited, but that's not prohibited by the Torah, but rather by the Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel. The Gemara asks, well, znus nami, the issue of Jew and non-Jew intimacy under let's say non-marriage circumstances, that's not Talmidei Hillel Shammai, that's Beveiz Dino Shel Shem. Shem is the shame, Shem ben Noach, the son of Noach. In the Beis Din, in the court of Shem, Gozru, this was already ruled. Dichtiv, Vayomer Yehuda, Hotzi Uha v'Tisareif. Based on that pasuk, we learn that intimacy, derech znus, is also prohibited. In other words, and that pasuk reflects a ruling of the Talmidei of the based in the court of shame. Ella, the oraisa, we again reevaluate from the Torah. Oved koychavim habo albas Yisrael. The Torah prohibition is a Gentile male that has relations with a Jewish female. The Moshcha Basrei, she will be drawn after him. Avol Yisrael habo al ha'ivedes kechavim lo. But a Jewish man having relations with a Gentile woman, that's not de oraisa. That is of rabbinic nature. The also inhu Gozer afilu Yisrael habo al ha'ivedes kechavim. And they came along and ruled that even a Jewish male is to be is prohibited from having intimacy with a Gentile female. The Gemara asks, Yisrael habo al ha'ivedes kechavim, the issue of a Jewish male having relations with a Gentile woman, that's not something that was made, it was not a gzeiro that was ruled upon by Shammai v'Hillel, Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel, halacha l'Moshe miSinai hi. That's something that's from, that's a ruling, an oral tradition from Mount Sinai. The Omar Mar, Haboyel Aramis, Kanoin Poginbo. This is a known teaching that became known at the time that Pinchas killed Cosby and Zimri in the incident that's featured in the Torah. And that says that Haboyel Aramis, that a Jewish male that has relations with a Gentile woman, Kanoyan zealots are able to kill him, even without an official court ruling, a court prosecution. What we see from there is that this idea of a Jewish male with Gentile woman, that's already something prohibited from a much earlier time. Ella. Reevaluation. Doraisa, Befarhesia, Uchamaisa Shehoya. The early ruling, the Doraisa ruling, is concerned something that's of a public violation. Uchamaisa Shehoya is a reference to the incident involving Zimri and Cosby. Zimri, who was the head of the tribe of Shimon, and Cosby, who was a princess from the Gentile princess. That was a public affair. Affair with all of the connotations involved in that particular word. That was a public affair, and that's what is also from the Torah level. When the Gemara uses the word deoraisa, it's probably coming to include the halacha l'moshe miSinai that we just made reference to. The also inu gozer afilu b'tzina, and the Talmidei Hillel and Shammai and made the ruling that affairs between Gentile the Jewish men and Gentile women is even done in privacy is is prohibited. The Gemara asks, "Betzino nami beis dino shochashmonoi gozru." The issue of immorality, of intimacy conducted by a Jewish man with a Gentile woman, is not the gezeira of the Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel, but rather it's the beis din shel Chashmonai that made the gezeira. The Chiyosu Rav Dimi Omar, Rav Dimi, when he came, he told us beis din shel Chashmonai gozru. The beis din of the Chashmonaim ruled the following: Yisrael habal v'diskechovim chayov mishum nashga, that a Jew who has relations with a Gentile woman is considered in violation of four different offenses that are alluded to in this abbreviation, nashga. He also, Ravin Omar, this is a second opinion as to what he is in violation of, mishum nashgaz, he is in violation of these four, three of which are the same. The fourth point is the point of difference, we will say. For our purposes, though, without getting involved with the specifics of these four different said violations, what is important for us is simply to be aware of the fact that the Beis Din Shel Chashmonai ruled against the male Jewish, the male Jew with the Gentile female in private. So the Gemara reevaluates. Ki gozru Beis Dino Shel Chashmonai. What is it that the Beis Din Shel Chashmonai ruled? Bia, an actual intimacy, avol yichud lo, but simply being in private without actual physical contact, but being in private in the same room, let us say, that the Beis Din Shel Chashmonai did not rule on. That's avol yichud lo. The asu inhu gozur afilu yichud, and the Talmidei Shammai v'Hillel came and made a gzera against a Jewish man being alone with a Gentile woman. The Gemara asks, Yichud Nami, this issue concerning Yichud as well, Beis Dino Shel David Gozru. That was the a ruling that happened much earlier during the time of David HaMelech and his court. The Omar Rav Yehuda, Be'oise Shah Gozru Al Yichud. As a result of the incident that's featured in the Tanakh between Amnon and Tamar, a rather unfortunate incident involving forced intimacy, a story involving rape, there was an issue, a ruling against man and woman being in private. So the Gemara answers, Amri Hasam Yichud Debas Yisrael. The ruling of the Beis Din Shel David was Jewish man with Jewish woman. Avol Yichud David is Kechavim Lo. But as far as Jewish man being alone with non-Jewish woman, that was not the ruling of Beis David. V'yasu Inhu Gazru, and the Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai, they came and made a ruling, a prohibition, Afilu Ayichud David is Kechavim, including, in other words, banning even the Jewish man being alone with Gentile woman. The Gemara asks, regarding that which was said just a couple lines up, we have arrows here to help in navigating the discussion. The Gemara asks, Yichud Abbas Yisrael, Deiraisahi. It's not a function of the Beis Din Shel David that ruled against man, Jewish man being with alone with Jewish woman. That is a Torah affront. That's a Torah violation. The Omer of Yehuda, the Omer of Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yehotzadok, Remez the Yichud min HaTorah minayin. Where is there an allusion to the prohibition of being in private in the Torah? Shenemar, the Gemara will answer. The Gemara answers, Shenemar, as it says in the Posuk, Ki Yisischo Chicho ben Imecha. Now, let's take the Posuk literally, and we'll see how the literal meaning is not sufficient. The Pasuk says, when your brother, the son of your mother, comes and seduces you or convinces you to go off and worship Avodah Zarah. That's the topic of the Pasuk. So, the Gemara asks rhetorically, V'chi ben eim mesis ben av eino mesis. Can it possibly be said that that a brother from a common mother is capable of leading one astray and a brother from a common father is not? Obviously that's not the case. Anyone is capable of seducing or convincing someone to go off the path. So what is being alluded to in this pasuk when it says, Achicha ben imecha? So Mora explains, Ela ben misyached im imo, as far as man and woman being together, the only other than outside of husband and wife, the only other relationship that the Torah will concede that is allowed is a son with his mother. The ein acher misyached im kol arayah shebetorah. We've dashed underlined this expression, which says that no other male female are allowed to be together according to the Torah. In other words, any of the other forbidden relations, nephew and aunt, or uncle and niece, etc., and so forth. We'll retract the example of uncle and niece for the time being. But anything else that's considered a forbidden relationship, those are forbidden from the Torah. So how can you say that that Yichud Bas Yisrael is something that the Beis Din Shel David ruled upon, when all other relations outside of mother and son are forbidden to be Yichud, are forbidden to be alone with one another? So the Gemara answers, Yichud Doiraisa. When we speak about the Torah forbidding a man-woman relationship, man-woman being alone, the Eishes Ish, that's when it comes to a man being with a married woman. The Osa David the Gozar, Afilu Ayichud de Pnuyo. The Basin of David came and instituted that a Jewish man is not allowed to be with an unmarried Jewish woman, a Pnuyo. The Osu Tamide Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, Gozar Afilu Ayichud de Overes Kechavim. And the innovation of the Tamide Hillel and Shammai is Jewish man is not allowed to be alone with a Gentile woman as well. My al dover acher mishum dover acher. This is a reference to that which was mentioned above, and as we mentioned earlier, the point would be discussed later in the Gemara, and we've now arrived at that later point. You'll notice there's an asterisk here, and you can find a parallel one above where this phrase was mentioned. So what is meant by this additional prohibition? Omar of Nachman bar Yitzchok, Gozru al tinok ove kechovim shiatame beziva. They made a ruling that an infant, a Gentile infant, and as we mentioned earlier in the case of Nida, it is true across the boards, all Gentile human beings do not convey tumah, do not convey ritual impurity through all kinds of emissions, bodily emissions, that are characteristic of Jewish bodily emissions. Nevertheless, there was a rabbinic ruling, a gzera, and we're mentioning that this is one of the 18 gzeros of the Talmidei Hillel v'Shammai, that ruled that a tinok, an infant, a Gentile infant, does convey tumas ziva. And why did they rule this? Shelo yehi tinok Yisrael rogil etzlo b'mishkav zocher, to ensure that one would keep a distance, because Jewish people were concerned with the communication of this of different ritual impurities, including ziva, which we're speaking about here. So that if it were known that a tinok ovei kohavim would convey this form of impurity, Jewish parents would keep their children away from the Gentile infants, and the whole purpose was to create a sense of distance so that they would not come to homosexual relations. The Amar Rabbi Zeira, Tsar Godol Hoyali Eitzel Rabbi Asi. I had a Tsar Godol means I had a lot of trouble in the following question that I asked, and I asked this question a number of times and I didn't get a response, and so we'll see what it is. He says that I had a, the Rabbi Zera says, I had this tzar gadol, this trouble with Rav Asi. Rav Asi eitzel Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan eitzel Rabbi Yana, Rabbi Yana eitzel Rabbi Nosson ben Amram, Rabbi Nosson ben Amram eitzel Rabbi. Tinok oivei kechovim me'emosai metame beziva. The question that I had raised, or that was raised, was a concerning an infant, a Gentile infant, from what point does he convey tumas ziva, this form of ritual impurity? The Amarli, and Rebbe answered, Ben Yomo, on the day of his birth, he's already said to convey this tumah. Ukshabasi Eitzel Rebbe Chia, Amarli, and when I came and presented the question to Rebbe Chia, he told me, Ben Teshashonim Viomechad, only at the age of 9 complete years, that's 9 years and a day old. Ukshabasi Vertesi Devorai Lefnei Rebbe, when I came and told this to Rebbe, Omar Lee, Rebbe said, Hanach Devorai,
abandon what I said. I said at a day old, ve'achuz divrei Rabbi Chiya, and accept, take hold of Rabbi Chiya's position that said, Tinok obikachovim emosai matame beziva, the Gentile infant, at what point does he convey tumaziva? Ben teisha shanim viom echad hoyil veroy lebia matame name beziva. Only at the age of 9 years and a day does he convey the tumaziva, because it's at that point that he's capable of conducting intimacy. That's what the expression roy lebia. He's capable of intimacy, and because of that, because of the possibility of forbidden intimacies. So it's at the point that he's capable of intimacy, they ruled that he would mitame beziva. Amar Ravina Hilkach, Ravina derives from this ruling, ha tinoikes avedis kachavim bas shaloshana v'yamechad, when it comes to a female, Gentile female, if she is 3 years and a day, because at that age, 3 years and a day, she's considered to be fit for intimacy, mitame nami beziva, she too will, there is imposed upon her tumas ziva, this form of ritual impurity. So the Gemara says, pshita, what do I need Ravina for? In other words, if I see from the ruling of Rav Chiya that once one is capable of intimacy, that is reason enough to impose this form of ritual impurity, on my own I know that a girl at 3 years and a day is capable of intimacy, so I automatically would know that we'll impose upon her tumas ziva. So what do I need Ravina for? The Gemara answers, Mahu detema, namely, without Ravina, I would have thought that there's a qualitative difference, even though physiologically no difference, but there's a qualitative difference between the case of the 9-year-old boy and the 3-year-old girl. Hai yoda la arguli, v'hai lo yoda yoda la arguli. Hai, the boy, who's 9 years old, he knows how to talk. In other words, as we're quite familiar from life, that the 9-year-olds know how to talk, they can talk on their own behalf, they can convince you of certain things, and that's what the expression la'arguli means. It's a function of convincing, that a 9-year-old is capable of convincing, so that he may be someone in the position to convince someone to practice intimacy with him. Hence, upon him, there's a ruling of ritual impurity. However, a girl of 3 years old, a 3-year-old girl, she's not capable of convincing someone to engage in intimacy with her, and therefore maybe there's no reason to impose upon her this ritual impurity. Komash Malon, that's what Ravina tells us, that it's not a function of convincing capabilities, but rather of roi labia alone. And at 3 years old, she, the girl, is roi labia, and hence that is why tumas ziva is imposed on her at that age. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.